Our scriptures reading from two places of the New Testament. First, Mark 13, the verses 23 to 33, and then 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 to chapter 5, verse 11. So first, Mark 13, we start at verse 23. Emphasis look at in the sermon about the coming of the Son of Man, the return of Jesus Christ on the clouds. And we read about here Jesus' own words about it, Mark 13, 23. But in those days, after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light. The stars will be falling from heaven, the powers and the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lessons. As soon as its branch becomes tender, puts out its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near at the very gates. Truly, I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But concerning that day or that hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, keep awake, for you do not know when the time will come. Let us now turn to the passage, our text is taken, 1 Thessalonians 4. And we also read about the coming of the Lord here in this passage, the verses 13 through to chapter 5, 11. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, the voice of an archangel, with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Now, concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you. For you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying, there is peace and security, then suddenly destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. So then, let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk, are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, a hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another, build one another up, just as you are doing. Beloved, the text for this morning is taken from this passage, 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 13 to 18. Let us read that text again. A very important passage for all of us. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of a trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them, the clouds, to meet the Lord and the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Beloved of our Lord Jesus Christ, of our risen Lord who is in heaven, we always are excited when we have something we can look forward to. Children get excited when their birthday is coming up. A young couple count the day till their wedding day. Yes, we have much anticipation. Family members live towards an upcoming family reunion. And they do so even more if they have relatives scattered all over the country or even scattered over the globe. Then we hardly can wait meeting loved ones we haven't seen for ages. My beloved, our text is about a much greater and more festive reunion. And this reunion concerns a heavenly one. A reunion with our Lord, with all his people. We indeed may look forward to the coming and exciting day of Christ's return. And we can do so with sure hope and for good reason and with great anticipation. And this brings us to the message of this morning. I may serve you with God's word, with this message, encourage one another in view of the upcoming great reunion of Christ with all his people. Now, regarding this forthcoming reunion, first, we rejoice in our Christian hope. That are the verses 13 and 14. Secondly, we are reminded of Christ's own word, verse 15. And finally, we will be together forever. And that concerns the verses 16 through 18. Encourage one another in view of the upcoming great reunion of Christ and all his people. First then, we rejoice in our Christian hope. Beloved, 1 Thessalonians is a letter from Paul, Silas, and Timothy. In the books of Acts, we read that they planted churches in Asia and Europe. And they also kept in contact with these churches through correspondence. Now, the first letter of Thessalonians shows this apostolic contact. Christ's church planters share thanks, prayers, and experiences with the churches. Encouragements, warnings, and admonitions also are given. And our text then contains a lot of comfort. But what was the situation in Thessalonica? We read that some members had fallen asleep. Loved ones had died. The text speaks about sleep. And here, sleep does not refer to someone who has taken a nap or so. Now, in Scripture, sleep often refers to death. In the Old Testament, a well-known phrase is used to indicate the death of a person. For example, in Daniel 12. Daniel 12, verse 2. And there we read the hopeful statement, "And many of them that sleep in the dust of this earth shall awake." In Psalms, then, we read about that same hope that the dead will be awake one day, that they wake up from their death sleep. We read that in Psalm 16, 17. Also, Psalm 73. From the New Testament Gospels, we remember that the Lord Jesus also speaks about death as sleeping. Think of the daughter of Jairus. Also of Lazarus, the brother of Martha and Mary. The Lord woke the daughter of Jairus and also Lazarus. He woke them up from their death sleep. So the sleepers of our text are members of the church in Thessalonica that had died. They fell asleep, that is, they died as believers in Christ. Their body was in the grave. Their soul was with the Lord in heaven. And so for a good understanding, I like to emphasize indeed that their body sleeps, but their soul is alive with the Lord. So here we don't read about soul sleep, but again that their bodies rest asleep in the grave. Beloved, a very joyful ingredient of Christian faith and our hope is that there is indeed hope beyond death, life beyond death. It's a hope that non-Christians don't have. Non-Christians here refer to as the rest or others. They don't have it. Unbelievers don't have the hope of living with our exalted Christ after their death. But in death, we hold on to Christ. He is, and He remains always our life. But then we ask, what actually was the problem then with the Thessalonians? Obviously, indeed, some members had died. And most probably, that had happened unexpectedly. They didn't expect it at all. But it happened. And that death had a devastating effect, an impact on the members. Why? Maybe, was the gospel not fully preached to them? That can be the case. For the book of Acts shows that the joyful truth of glorious life after death was an important theme of the apostolic preaching. Had perhaps false teachers made them confused? Or would they have slackened in the hope of glory? Not really, beloved. Here the situation was merely that the congregation needed what? In death. What do people, what do those who are left behind, what do they need? They need encouragement. Encouragement. The members of that congregation, Thessalonica, were true believers. We read that in the beginning of this letter. Yet remember that then, as we now still live in a world of death, at the time of our text, people's lifespan on earth was only about 30 years. And death often occurred. And today, many deadly diseases and other dangers around us, putting us at risk. We can be snatched, our loved ones can be snatched away by death at any moment. Just think of earthquakes, calamities, floods, like floods or car accidents. Now, what does a believer feel when he constantly lives in the face of death, and or when every day he misses his or her loved one, a parent, a spouse, a child, a friend, or a beloved church member? What do we feel? And I tell you, it's overwhelming. It is terribly unsettling. Let's face it, at death, the focus is on that shocking reality of someone gone from us. That means not getting a reaction anymore. No touch, no sound, no possibility to care, and there is an empty chair. No noise in the kitchen or in the garage anymore. The loved one is gone from this earthly life. And then the emotional reaction is deep grief. And the usual platitudes addressed to the grieving one, such as, I'm truly sorry for your loss, or I'm thinking of you, I will soon visit you. Those well-intended reactions, expressions, can even intensify the grief. And that's often what happens. Let's let's face it, that's reality too. However, what must we do, beloved, when we see our people being overwhelmed by sorrow? Then loving and faithful encouragement must be given, true comfort from Scripture. And that's precisely what Paul, Silas, and Timothy are doing here. And now take note how they do this. The loving comfort, they lovingly comfort them with the joy of the Christian hope. Christian hope. And they do so in a sensitive and open way. They even include themselves, for they speak in the plural, in the we form. Now that's what we call empathy. We, the text reads, we believe that Jesus died and rose again. And even so, we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in Him. He will bring them back. Beloved, here Scripture places over against the reality of death. What? Over against the reality of death, the reality of life. And therefore we can extend our condolences, our comfort with the truth, confirming. Be assured, those who died in Christ are not dead. They still live with the Lord. And what is more, we will meet them again. In other words, we as believers, we don't lose each other. We don't lose each other. That's, beloved, how we need to encourage one another and strengthen one another. Not using a commonplace expression, but using a joyful word from Scripture, like it is written in our text. And at death, and who knows where and when it will strike in your midst, at death, our focus must not be on death, but on life. Oh, sure, death, it still is a fearsome enemy. And yet we may and we can dry our tears through the joy of our Christian hope. Even by death, the bond with the Savior, Jesus Christ, is not broken. And this truth gives rest. It gives peace. Extend that comfort with empathy to one another in cases of grief. As at Jesus' return, we expect a living Christ. So with Him, the dead too will return alive, each then with their own glorified body. In that sure hope, we are living towards the day of the great reunion of Christ with His people. At that great meet, we see our loved ones again. Those are not merely words of the apostles, of the servants of the Lord, Paul, Silas, and Timothy. No, they clearly refer to God's own words. And this brings us to our second point. Christ's own words. Many explainers of Scriptures They don't know where the Lord's own words can be found. They think, well, it's a summary of Christ's teaching, or it's from the oral tradition, which is not recorded in Scripture, or it's a special revelation of the Lord to them. Well, what does God's Word in the Old Testament and New Testament say about the hope of God's children? The Old Testament indeed anticipates the great harvest of all God's people into glory. All God's people. A clear reverence is Daniel 7. There, the gathering in of people into one nation was promised in connection with the Son of Man. Eternal life through him was the Old Testament people's expectation. It was even their perspective. Psalms express the conviction of God's people that the eternal God is their portion. Again, think of Psalm 16, 17, 73. Well, if God is their portion, so if they also belong to God, the living God, the eternal God, if God is their portion, then they are themselves also alive. They are eternal. And that also was the expectation of people in the New Testament. Think, for example, of Simeon and Anna in the temple at Jesus' birth. Next, in the Lord's own teaching about the end times, Jesus says, they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds. We have read it this morning. But also in Matthew 24, they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power, great glory. And he will send his angels in a loud trumpet call. And he will gather his elect from the four winds, from the one end of the heavens to the other. And in Mark, we read then that remarkable point that the ingathering will happen from the earth, but also from heaven. Thus, in Jesus' own words about the end times, the Lord indicates that he will fulfill God's Old Testament promises and expectations, perspectives. As the Son of Man, he will bring all God's chosen ones together, uniting them in one nation. Congregation, that's astounding. Astounding. The coming together of the multitudes of God's redeemed people from all places and nations. What a reunion feast and glory that would be. It's clear, Paul, Silas, and Timothy don't come with their own words of comfort. And the second letter, they don't do so either, when they touch there also on the same topic. From God's word and the Lord's own teaching, the apostles draw comfort concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus and the gathering in of those who are still on the earth with those who are with the Lord in heaven. Great comfort, and nevertheless, beloved, nevertheless, when death strikes, it profoundly unsettles those who are left behind. And their grief isn't that easily comforted. It comes like ocean waves unsettling the sand the bereaved is standing on. And then the waves subside to come back again, to roll again around them. And the waves, they vary in size, frequently, and in intensity. The small ones lap around the feet. Others are stronger. They foam up under his feet. to even wash the sand underneath the feet away, cause them to stagger. Next, the waves come higher with overwhelming power, with a strong undertow that turns his world upside down, drag him out into deep water. In times such as those, the bereaved desperately need something to hold on to. And that's what the people in Thessalonica got from the apostles, Paul and his helpers. They reminded them of Christ's word about a forthcoming reunion of God's people in heaven and on earth. That word is then, so to speak, the anchor of one's soul. It is sure and steadfast, as we also read in Hebrews 6. Paul, with his help, was then throw that anchor into heaven, where Christ is preparing the great reunion. Beloved, since we live in a world of death, time and again we need to be reminded of this comforting and astounding truth. When we face death, when we suffer the pain of separation through the passing of a loved one to be with the Lord, we need God's word to tell each other that a separation won't last. It won't last forever. Because the Lord himself said, with his own word, with me, the dead will come back. We will meet again, and then we will be together forever. Repeated several times in this passage. Then it brings us to our last point. And that's the program. Concerns the program for the upcoming reunion with all his people, Christ's people in heaven and on earth. It happens as follows. We read it. It starts off with a loud, very loud signal. Trumpet call. Then the appearance of the Lord will happen. Next, the joining of the dead and the living will take place. It's followed by the meeting with the Lord in the air. And so will the reunion be completed and will last forever. On the new earth and new heaven. Thus, first of all, that starting signal, given by the voice of an archangel, by a heavenly trumpet blast. Now, in the Old Testament, the Lord God had appeared to his people before in such a way, in the company of an angel, think of Abram, and also with a loud trumpet sound to people at Mount Sinai. The Old Testament prophets, like Daniel and Ezekiel, speak already about this earth-shaking appearance of the Lord. Much more impressive does the last book in the Bible, the New Testament book of Revelation, speak about this earth-shaking event. The coming of the Lord from heaven will not escape anyone. The participant people in the great reunion are distinguished then in two groups. The dead and the living. In that order, the dead and the living. Those who have died in the Lord will first arise from their graves, we read. And then, who are left and still alive on earth, will also go to meet the Lord. And then, in the twinkling of an eye, they will receive a new life. They will be changed to immortality. We read that in 1 Corinthians 15. And then that twofold movement on the clouds will take place. Christ comes down on a cloud carriage. Now that coming of Christ was already announced when? It was announced by angels when? It was announced at Jesus' ascension into heaven, Acts 1. So how comforting it is to hear that the distinction between the dead and the living will be totally gone. The dead are raised to heavenly life, and those still alive are changed to the same glorious life. And then all God's holy saints will meet the Lord in the air, we read. It will be truly a festal procession. Imagine Christ as a divine dignitary from heaven, together with all his totally renewed people from the earth. In each other's company, they move to the renewed heaven and earth. And then we read, they will be with the Lord forever and ever. And congregation, isn't that the message of the gospel of Christ Jesus through and through? Namely, that God's people, that believers, have everlasting life, and that all will be living with the Lord everlastingly. Indeed, the passage of our text was written to encourage and comfort God's people with the gospel of eternal life. In one short sentence summarized, the comfort of the gospel is Psalm 84. Blessed is the one who trusts in the living God. That was the comfort in the case of a loved one who died a natural death in Thessalonica. That word of Christ would have given a great boost of faith to the members there who had stayed behind, but who were still alive. They lived in a world full of diseases, oppression, even persecution. In the New Testament letters, they refer to that situation as living in a world full of suffering. And in the Roman world of that time, death was lurking around every corner. They were not, nor we, living on the renewed earth yet. Here you will suffer loss, and maybe even a great loss. And finding then yourself on a roller coaster of emotions when loved ones are snatched away, or when you yourselves must face death in the eye. And to lose everything, but not your Christian faith and hope for eternal glory. Lovingly reminding each other as an encouragement that life of suffering on this earth, that life of suffering is only a short span of our human life, of eternal life. Scripture says in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17, this life is but a slight momentary affliction, which is achieving for us an eternal weight of glory. Well, your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who rose from the dead, is preparing for us, as his people, the greatest reunion ever. Reunion of all ages. And actually, you yourselves too, beloved, you are preparing for that splendid feast as well. And you do so in celebrating your participation in that great reunion. And you do so when? When do you prepare for the reunion? Every Sunday, every Lord's Day, because here in Christ Church, you receive a foretaste of that great day, that enormous event of Christ's reunion with his people. Therefore, be here as often as you can. Be here in celebration mood and praise to your Lord and King. And as often as you can, encourage one another in that glorious life that needs to feed us then on the Lord's work as preached every Sunday in church. Keep each other to that comfort, to that truth. And so every Sunday too, you can say, this is the day that the Lord has made. And we will rejoice and be glad in it. For Christ is risen from the dead. Death has no dominion over him anymore. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? Grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. So hallelujah, we say, for the Lord God, the Almighty, reigns. King of kings and Lord of lords. And he shall reign forever and ever. Forever. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Maranatha. Amen. Let us pray the prayer of application. Almighty God, graciously grant that your words, which we have heard, may be inscribed inwardly on our hearts. As we receive your word meekly with pure affection, may our hearts be filled with love and reverence for you and one another. Cause us to bear the fruit of the Spirit, that we live in holiness, diligently following your word. Your word that is full of comfort. And may it please you to use us as your instruments to encourage each other in our suffering world. All this we pray for the honor and praise of your name through Jesus Christ our Lord, and the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.